Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter 18. We're going to read verses 13 all the way down to verse 24. Exodus 18, and we'll begin verse 13. And then if you'd join me on the even-numbered verses as we read through this passage. Exodus 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee, thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this place that you've given us to meet. Thank you for the privilege we have. Thank you for starting a church. Thank you that we have this church to attend. And Lord, we ask now that you might meet with us, do something in our hearts, make us more like you. Help us to see things your way. Give our preacher your power. We know that he's spent hours praying and planning and working and trying to organize things in such a way where your people will feel comfortable. And now we ask that as he presents to us this plan, that you would help us to listen with hearts that are seeking your will and your way. We love you, Lord. Amen. That's one of those songs that preach while you're singing. And I say that's good preaching. You're probably going to get dirty notes from somebody. Don't put them under my office door. I didn't sing it. I wouldn't be that straightforward. Oh, thank you for coming to church tonight. I'm glad that you're here. Now, there's something I want to do right off the bat. Our greeters, and we had some folks passing out a little stapled unit of papers. If you did not get one of these, I want to get you one right away. If you're on the platform and you don't have yours, I want to get you one. So if you didn't get one of these, it starts out with a yellow piece of paper. You raise your hand real high, and we're going to get you one. Ushers, it'll work best if you come down front real quick and look back into the crowd. Up here on the platform, how are we doing? Looks like I've got one or two in the choir. I know we tried to pass them out during choir practice, but we'll get you covered. Just keep waving at them. Wave at them until they take care of you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. We're going to use this in a little while,
but I'm going to want you to look at me while I talk, and then we'll look at it together. And so we're going to get a chance to study it, and those of you that really are interested in this, I'm hoping you'll take it home and look it over for about an hour at home. But I'm not going to want you to look down all the time that I'm speaking at that piece of paper. So let me check in the balcony. Anybody up there not have one yet? Wave at me. We want to get you cared for. Anyone at all? Okay. This section over here, anybody not have one? Wave at me. How about this section right here? Okay. This section, anybody not have one? Right here. This section, anybody not have one? Okay. This section. Okay, don't scratch your head. You're going to get splinters in your finger. Right over here, anybody need? How about platform? Anybody? Don't be shy. Okay, now I want you to set that thing aside for a second. To the greeters, I want you to do this for me. We're going to continue to distribute these Wednesday night to anybody that didn't get one, next Sunday morning, next Sunday night, and the following Wednesday night. I want to make sure everybody gets one. Now, anybody that's absent from this evening's service, what I'm about to say and what I'm about to do will not be quite as clear to those that are absent, but we'll be able to explain it to them. And I want to talk to you tonight about some future plans in regard to our new building and other things. But let's start by discussing the passage of Scripture that we read with Brother Young just a little bit ago. Look back at me, if you will. Moses was the leader of millions of people. But Moses had his hands full meeting the needs of all the people. Here's what would happen. During the day, Moses would meet and he would counsel the people, helping them to make decisions, teaching them the Word of God so they could make decisions, and even settling some disputes between God's people. He was, for every practical purpose, he was pastoring the people. Now, he was finding it a bit impossible to do it by himself. His father-in-law had noticed how weary he was. He was starting early in the day and late into the evening. He was meeting with people, and it would have been a little bit like my counseling line. The people would line up, and they would step up, and he would talk with them, and he would start early, and he would finish late. His father-in-law's name is Jethro. This is not from the Beverly Hillbillies now. His father-in-law, Jethro, he suggests to Moses, he said, now Moses, he tells him, he said, you're going to kill yourself doing this. You are virtually going to wear yourself out physically and emotionally doing this all by yourself. His father-in-law suggests an idea that will help Moses. He said the people are going to be served better, and Moses, my idea is going to help you an awful lot. You'll be able to help the people more. And Jethro suggests that Moses could multiply his influence by dividing up his responsibility of teaching and training and helping the people. And maybe if he could divide some of that up among some capable leaders, they could then help Moses to serve and counsel the people. Now, his father-in-law said, here's what I think you ought to do, Moses. I think you ought to go find some good, faithful people and let them help you with the work. If you've got your Bible there, look again, if you will, at Exodus 18. I want you to look at verse number 21. Exodus 18, verse 21, and it says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, and as feared God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Now, that word ruler there would mean a leader. And so Moses' father-in-law said, here's what we need to do. You just can't do this all the time. The people are going to wear you out. So you need to find some good people, and you're going to train them, and then they're going to help you to meet the needs of the people. He uses the term able men. And he talked about those that are dependable, dependable, faithful people. He said those that fear God. He said, you need to find these people. They're dependable people. They fear God. It says they love the truth. In other words, they're obedient to the Word of God. And it talks about those that hate covetousness. And he's telling them that these people ought to be people that are satisfied in their Christianity. These ought to be people that are faithful. They fear God. They love the truth. And you're going to pick these people to help you, Moses, get the job done. Now, Jethro then says, Moses, what we're going to do is if we divide them up, some are going to be a little more capable than others. Some will be able to help you with thousands. Some will be able to help you to lead hundreds. He said, yet others are going to help to lead 50 people. Then others will be able to help lead 10 people. He said, but some are going to have some abilities better than others, and they're maybe a little better trained. Maybe they'll be able to help a little more, but there's going to be a variety of people with a variety of abilities, and we're going to divide them up to help you. This would be good for you, Moses, and that's what he tells him. He said, this is going to be good for you. He uses the word, and I'm going to ask if you will look at me. There's young people, you're looking at the paper. Please, I beg of you. I'm going to help you to understand that paper, but you need to listen to the truth from the Word of God first. He said he uses the word endure. He says, Moses, you're going to be able to endure if you do this. What he meant was, Moses, you're going to make it to the end. If not, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. You just can't keep up the schedule that you're trying to work there. So it's going to be good for you, Moses. Then he said, this is going to be good for those leaders, those people that you train, those people that help you. Then he said, not only that, it's going to be good for the people, the masses of the people. Jethro says, now what? You'll be the overseer of it all. And when big problems arise, you'll be there, Moses, and they'll bring those problems to you, and you'll keep the project going, you'll keep it organized, you'll handle the big problems that they can't handle. By the way, Moses followed this counsel, and it worked. It was an excellent idea. Now, here we see that Moses divided the responsibilities and it multiplied their success. The sermon title tonight is this: you multiply by dividing. You multiply by dividing. The Bible concept that Moses uses is exactly what we do in our Sunday school system here. We multiply the number of people that we reach and help by dividing our classes into smaller units. The Bible is very clear that we're to multiply. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, once you arrive at Acts chapter 9, we'll go to verse number 31. Acts chapter 9, verse number 31. In Acts 9:31, it says this: then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were what? Multiplied. The churches were multiplied. God didn't necessarily want there just to be this one big church in the area. He said that there's going to be churches throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And then he said the churches will multiply. In other words, they'll start other churches, but not only that. The church itself will multiply. It will grow. God wants the church to multiply. God wants the church to grow. For a numerical purpose? No. No. But for an outreach purpose. We're to be reaching everybody we can reach. We're to be getting everybody saved that we can get saved. We're to be teaching everybody the Bible that we can teach. We're to be doing that. We're to be multiplying. Jesus understood this concept of multiplying by dividing. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 6, verse number 7. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. The lesson is that you multiply by dividing. You multiply by dividing. Here in Mark chapter 6, verse number 7, the Bible says this: and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two. I wonder what he was doing. He was dividing his crew and sending them out. Why? Well, he had given them the challenge to go reach the entire world. What was he doing? He said, I'm going to start dividing us up, and I'm going to send some over here and some over there and some over there, and we will multiply our influence by dividing ourselves up. And he sends them out two by two. Jesus divides the unit of his apostles into smaller groups so that they could multiply their influence. Take, for instance, the example of our country. America. We have what we call, you have the regions of America. You have north, south, east, and west. But you understand, it started out up in the northeast. And then it began to spread. And this great country, it's then divided into, first of all, regions, and then into states. Then we divide the states into counties, the counties into cities and towns, and then those into precincts and neighborhoods. And that is part of the greatness of America. The country multiplied, but it successfully multiplied by dividing into smaller units. That's what businesses do. McDonald's started out with one hamburger shop. And somebody that was trained there went somewhere else, and they started what they call a franchise. And then they sent somebody out, and they started one, and it multiplied that way. The school system here in America, they started out with a little one-room schoolhouse, and one teacher did all the teaching. And then in time, they were able to get someone to teach the 12th grade only, and then the 11th grade only. It was an intensified, specified effort to teach at that certain level. The school system does it. Now, tonight's lesson is to help us to organize and understand and get ready for our new building and what we're going to do with our Sunday schools. I'll use the term split, not like some of you split churches, but we're going to split our Sunday schools a little bit, and you're going to understand it as the night progresses. And our church is known. We've been trying to build that new building over there, and the whole reason we're buying those mobile units is because God is blessing our church, and we're growing. We go out two by two, winning people to Christ, bringing in the church, and God is blessing our church, and we've got to house everybody. We use the Sunday school program as a tool of growth in two ways. It is a tool of growth. We grow learning the Bible. And then secondly, we grow the number of people that we're influencing using the Sunday school departments to do that. Now, we're going to get very, very practical now. I want you to listen to me, and I'm going to step you through some things, and I want you to learn it. Number one, now we're soon going to start using our new building. It's just a few weeks away. We're going to move into that new building. Let me remind you, it's a three-story building. It's 25,000 square foot. We were able to afford, both in time and money, enough to finish the two upper floors. We have a full basement. It's not touched. It's not finished at all. The other two floors are ready to use. Now, we built that building over there basically to house our thriving Sunday school ministry. We ended up leasing the mobile units out here. Why? Well, our church was growing at such a rapid rate, we couldn't keep up and get our building built. We needed a way to keep on growing, so we leased all those mobile units out there to keep up with the growth. Now, we also had moved into our gymnasium. I'll tell you, I had been around the property and every nook and cranny that I could find. We were building classes and putting up walls and trying to figure out how can we accommodate the growth of our church. Well, in the gymnasium, of course you can't build walls over there, and some of you have seen it. You go over there on a Sunday morning. We had some rolling partitions that some of our men got together and built, and we used those little rolling walls, if you will, to divide everybody up, and we had 15 Sunday school classes on the ground level of the gym. And I am telling you, you talk about it was chaos, inconvenient, 15. And all, just a little wall that was about four and a half foot, maybe 5 foot tall, 15 people trying to teach Sunday school to hundreds of people in that gym all at the same time. And it would start out, and you could hear as they would teach, they would talk about this level, and then they'd realize somebody beside them was talking loud, and it'd get a little louder and a little louder. And at the end of the Sunday school hour, you have 15 teachers trying to teach and compete with everybody else. And those of you that are over there, you know I'm not exaggerating now. And I want to thank you. Thank God for those teachers. I never had a teacher come and say to me, I'm not going to teach over there, not one. They just knew that's what we had to do. and we went forward. Now, I'm for having nice facilities. My philosophy is it ought to be first class. And if it's not first class, you don't have any class. But in that case, we had to make do. So we used 15 different, we used the restrooms over there. You say, what? Yeah, every Sunday morning, the locker room restrooms. We had a boys' class and a boys' restroom and a girls' class and the girls' restroom. We used the kitchen over there. Brother Mill Irons taught over there. You'll notice all the guys in his class have put on a lot of pounds serving God in the kitchen and having Sunday school. Now, we leased those mobile units. We were using the gym floor. We were using church offices for Sunday school. Now, by faith, we're claiming all those mobile units out there because the truth is we still can't keep up with the growth. Now, if we get a little extra money, we're going to use it to help our new building. And actually, what we're going to do, there's two things that we're going to need to do to the new building. And I'm going to talk about this in a little more detail. We've got some walls that we'll have to put up in there. And we've got the whole basement that needs to be remodeled and made so we can put other Sunday school classes in there. And the truth be known, we already need the basement. Some of you that were a part of the process, the deacons could tell you this. Originally, I was going to build a one-story building. But we grew so much, and don't tell the county I said this, but we had a pretty tough time getting some permits and some things rolling. And so by the time I thought we were about ready to get the paperwork we needed so they would let us run, we had grown so much we decided we would build a story and a half. We're going to do a half basement on the little hill out here and a one-story building. By the time that we were just about ready to run with the ball, we had grown so much, I decided we better go with the full basement and a full level. It took them a little while to get through the paperwork, and by that time we had grown so much, I realized we better go with two full stories and a full basement. Now, thank God we finally got the permit, or that building over there would be 8 stories high, you know, it would be the Empire State Building. But finally, we got the paperwork and we were able to run with it, and that's why we are where we are. Now, soon we're going to move into that building over there we've been building. Number two, let me say this. We are starting 15 new Sunday school classes. Now, those 15 classes, those teachers and things, they've known about this for a long time. We were hoping that we were going to get that building done 7 months ago. And we already had it set up and we were ready to roll, but we are starting 15 brand new Sunday school classes. You say why? Because you multiply by dividing. We are splitting some of our existing Sunday school classes or dividing them. Now listen carefully. Starting with the 4-year-old class all the way through the 6th grade, we're splitting those Sunday school classes. Now, I said starting with the 4-year-old class all the way up to the 6th grade classes, we're going to split the classes. We are not splitting any adult classes. We are not splitting any of the classes 7th through 12th grade. Only 4-year-old up through 6th grade, including the 6th grade class. The split has been explained thoroughly to all of our bus workers and all our Sunday school teachers. The new teachers, when we go to split, the new teachers and assistant teachers, they've known who they are for months and months and months. They have been attending the class that we're splitting. They've already been with the students for 6 or 7 months now. See, we took a fourth grade boys class, and we're going to split that. We had the new teacher and assistant teacher for the split go right in the class. They've been getting used to the kids. They've been in that class for all these months waiting for the split to take place. The split will be done using a north-south dividing line. Now, the split will affect, and it'll include all the 4-year-olds through 6th grade. That means the bus kids that come in on the buses, as well as, I'll use this term, those of you that drive to church, those of you that your transportation to church is not a bus, we call that the drive-in crowd. Everybody's going to be split. The drive-in crowd and the bus crowd. Now, the 4-year-old through the 6th graders, the ones that are considered the bus kids, the bus routes have been divided into north routes and south routes. And I want you to get your chart out. that very first page, the yellow one, I want you to glance at it real quick. Go to the back of the first page where it says bus routes, north, south, split. Now you can see here, it tells you the bus number, the captain, and one side of the page are the north routes, the other side of the page are the south routes. And that's how the bus routes are split. In other words, that means everybody that's on a north route, they're going to attend the north Sunday school class. The ones that are on a south route, they're going to attend a south Sunday school class. As things progress, you're going to understand it. Now, I want you to look back at me, if you will, for a moment. That chart shows you that the bus routes are north-south split. Now, let's use the term the drive-in students. Those of you that are here tonight, your children. The north-south dividing line is going to be Route 9. Now, take your chart again. Turn to the second page. You see the green page where it says Sunday school class and drive-in crowd south-north split. You see it? It says north-south. There's a yellow line. The yellow highlighted road is Route 9. That map that we've given you explains whether your child, if they're 4 years of age through sixth grade, whether they will go to a north Sunday school class or they'll go to a south Sunday school class. If you live north of Route 9, your child will attend the north Sunday school class. If you live south of Route 9, you will attend a south Sunday school class. Now, look back at me, if you will, for a moment. All this paperwork will make it more complicated than what it seems, because most of you don't have that much to worry about. All the adult has to do is find their Sunday school class, and you're an adult, and that won't be hard. You need to find the place for a child or two where they go, and then that will be their class for the remainder of this Sunday school season, if you will, until promotion time next June. So don't let it scare you. It's not as massive as it looks. Now, let me say this. If your child is what we'd call in a drive-in family, but they ride a bus to church because dad works on a bus route, you say, now, wonder if we work on a north route, but we live on the south side of Route 9. Well, your children will go to the class in the area where you live. Okay? In other words, if Brother Young were a bus captain on the north side and his children came with him, but he lived on the south side, his bus kids go to the north class, his children go to the south class because he lives on the south side. So the people in this room, your children's class is determined by where you live, not if you work on a bus route somewhere. Those of you that understand, shake your head up and down like this. I hear marbles. Okay, good. Fantastic. Now, let me move on. Look at the yellow chart again, and you see that yellow front page. It says Sunday school class, north, south, split. Now, let me explain it. The four-year-old class, well, look at me for a second. The four-year-old class is not split up boy-girl. The four-year-old class will just have one north class and one south class. We keep the boys and girls together in that class. When we get to the five-year-old class, we have a boys class, we have a girls class, and we'll have that for both the north side and the south side. This chart tells you about the classes and the split. When you look at the top column, the yellow sheet that says Sunday school class, north-south split, notice it says four-year-old class. You've got a north side and a south side. The top name is their teacher. The bottom name is the assistant teacher. Notice that we have the four-year-old classes. It's not boy-girl split. It's boy-girl together in the four-year-old class. Now, when you get to the five-year-olds, notice you have five-year-old girls. You have a north class and a south class. Then you have the five-year-old boys. You have a north class and a south class. Now, look back at me again. The five-year-olds then have four classes. The same is true for the first grade, and then second grade, and third grade, and fourth grade, and fifth grade, and sixth grade. In each level, from 5 years of age up to sixth grade, there are four classes. two classes for the north, two classes for the south, one of which is a boys' class and one of which is a girls' class. The teachers have known about this for months. And the teachers that have been thinking, well, they are already figuring out who is in the north class and who is in the south class. Remembering, back before we started and we were preparing for this split, we had one class of boys, the fourth grade boys class, there's just that one unit. We put the teacher and the assistant teacher that would be additional for the split in that class. So, for some months, there have been two teachers and two assistant teachers attending every class. We've been getting ready for the split. The kids already know them. They've been with this, what we'll call their new teacher. They've been with them for months. We did that on purpose. Now, bus captains, listen to me for a moment. Teachers, listen to me for a moment. When someone rides in on a bus, we do something that I think is very helpful. We have a little quarter sheet piece of paper that we hand a bus kid. It has the name of their bus route and the kid's name on it. And when they walk in, they hand that to their teacher and it says, I ride bus number 7. My name is Joey Smith. They hand that to the teacher. That way the teacher has that information. It's one of our ways of transferring information from a bus captain to a teacher. Now, Sunday school teachers, you've already been told this, but now those little quarter sheets of paper have the bus number, and it also defines whether that is a north route or a south route. And this is what we're doing. Brother Doss, Brother Bajan, and I agreed that in the next couple of weeks, bus captains, I'm asking you to fill those papers out on all the riders. You say, but I already did that months ago on some of my riders. I want you to do it again because we're again getting ready for the split, and it's just going to help the teachers to define who will be on the north Sunday school class and who will be on the south. So teachers, you get ready. Those papers are going to come back to you. Now, you've already received them, and all you have to do is look on the chart to figure out which students will go north and which students will go south. But we're again going to deliver to you a quarter sheet piece of paper to help you. Now, again, look back at me, if you will. I know some of you are studying curiously to understand this. I'll explain it to you better than you'll understand it. I promise you that. Now, once we get this split, the 15 new classes, which are the divisions from four-year-old up to sixth grade, we will have a total of 71 Sunday school classes here at the church. You say, why so many? Because you multiply by dividing. You multiply by dividing. I teach this at churches all across America. We have what we call our old PAS conferences. And they're not just preaching conferences. They're training conferences. We're teaching people how to reach people by the masses. We're doing what Jethro told Moses to do. He said you need to break that thing down into manageable little units, get a lot of people involved, you'll have more depth, you'll have more strength, and that's what we're doing. That's where Jesus sent them out two by two. He said, I'm going to divide you up into little groups and send you places so we can reach more people. So, we will have 71 Sunday school classes when we do the split. We'll have, and I love this, we'll have 147 teachers and assistant teachers total. 147 teachers and assistant teachers. Now, I put an assistant teacher in every class. I have reasons. I have safety reasons for that. But I'll tell you this also. You know, if let's say that we just got real wild around here and decided we want to double our Sunday schools. Well, I already have 70 plus assistant teachers training constantly on how to handle classes, how to study, and how to teach. So we have people being prepared constantly. So the first thing I wanted you to see was this. Soon we're going to start, and we're going to start using that new building. Secondly, we're starting 15 new Sunday school classes as a result of a series of splits. Number three, let me teach you something, and you listen to me. Let me tell you the benefits of splitting classes. First of all, you have more adults teaching the Bible. You learn more by teaching than being taught. And I want as many people studying the Bible as I can get. I have 147 people that study every week of their life, page after page of the Bible, note after note, preparing to teach the Bible. You see, the thing of many Sunday school classes, it's just not all about the students. I'd give you a Sunday school class to build you, and the student is built as a byproduct of you being built by building a relationship with your Bible. Therefore, we've got 147 people studying the Bible, stepping up in their Christian life. See, to be a Sunday school teacher, assistant Sunday school teacher, there's some requirements. You got to live right. You got to act right. You got to go soul winning. You got to be faithful to God. So many things. We've got all those people that have stepped up and all those people studying the Bible. Now, what are the benefits of these splitting of classes? Then, better care and service for the students. Listen. If you've got, I listened to one Sunday school teacher today said, I've got 30 students in my class. Let me tell you, taking care of 30 first graders is a chore. You've got to wonder if you're teaching them or they're teaching you. Breaking it down into smaller units makes it better for the student. Here's another benefit of splitting the classes. You have more people praying for the students. Look, if I've got one teacher praying for 30 students, then that's good. I'm glad of that. But wonder if I have two teachers praying for the students. The split gives us more people praying for our Sunday school students. Not only that, gives us more people visiting the absentees. Again, you go back to a class that's running 30, you realize how difficult it is for one teacher to visit all the absentees of a class of 30? Almost impossible. But if you split that class into two classes of 15, wonder if you split it into three classes of 10. Suddenly you've got three people doing the visiting. We can better watch out for people that begin to get backslidden, people that step out of church, people that begin to miss. Those absentees are better service and will help to reach the absent people better that way. Not only that, there'll be more people trying to reach new students for their classes. Sunday school, those of you that are part of the Sunday school staff here, let me tell you something. You're a Sunday school teacher, but you're a Sunday school builder. You need to be reaching people for your Sunday school class. Don't depend on that bus route to do it all for you. Get out there and reach some people. But again, the more teachers you have, the more people you have building that unit of people. There are more people soul winning and trying to get people into their classes. Not only that. Smaller classes means better behavior in class. A teacher has better class control over 10 or 12, 15 students than a class of 30. So now, here's another benefit. It's a little less expensive for the teacher so that they can do some extras for a class. Some of our teachers choose to bring in some treats for the class. I want to tell you something. You bring in treats for 30 children, and you do it week after week after week. You got to budget it. I mean, we're talking about, we're going to need a bailout package for the Sunday school. But by dividing the class, it makes it a little more financially manageable for the teacher to have a smaller class. They can have some snacks and they can have an activity. It's very difficult to have an activity for 30 children for one teacher. Hey, this, teachers can get to know the students better. It's a more personal thing. It's hard to get to know 30 kids. And on a big day, I've watched some classes go up to 40 and 50 on one big day. How are they going to get to know all those kids? But if that's divided in half or divided three or four different ways, they get to know the students better. Defining the north-south areas makes visitation time more productive. You understand, if we have all the kids that are north visited by one teacher and the ones that are south visited by another, you can ask any teacher here, that is going to be a blessing. Because it's very difficult to go up and visit somebody in Hagerstown, then try to go down and visit somebody in Winchester. The north-south split makes total sense in our time and the concentration of visitation and meeting the needs of the students. Splitting classes, actually, multiplies the unity of a church. You say how? Because you've got more teachers teaching the same truth. That's unity. More teachers teaching the same lesson. That's unity. All the students learning the same lesson. That's unity. From more people. You know, I believe that, you know, the pastor, he stands and he preaches truth from the Bible. That's a wonderful thing. I think the more people in the church that are teaching the same Bible and the same truth, the more the depth of the church. I think there ought to be a lot of people teaching the Bible around here. I think a lot of people ought to be standing up and saying, that's the word of God. And a lot of people standing up and saying, you can't lose your salvation. And a lot of people saying you ought to give to the Lord. I think the Bible gives us depth. And so it multiplies the unity in the church. You've got more people working toward the same goal. We've got all these teachers and assistant teachers that attend a Wednesday night teachers meeting at 6:15, and I teach them how to do it and what works and what won't work and how to be successful. Boy, that brings unity to a church. Now, number four, I want to quickly talk to you about the class locations. Not only will new classes need a place to meet, but we're relocating some of our other classes. Now, I've made this clear, and I've joked about it and toyed with it, and sure as I'm standing here, somebody's going to be mad at me. But I never promised anybody a spot in that new building. We decided we would do what was best for the ministry, not what's best for you. And I know that's pretty point blank, but that's, if all of us would have that attitude, we'll be a stronger church. It's not all about you. You say, well, I've been in this church for 35 years. I apologize to you. I'm not trying to walk past you. I'm just trying to do what's best for the church. And I think that we tried to decide where to put the Sunday school classes based on the need. Nobody was promised a place in a new building. We are taking classes. I'm removing all the classes from the ground level of the gym floor. There are not going to be any classes over in the gym, at least not right away. If God keeps blessing our church, we'll pull the old wooden partitions out and we'll start starting classes in the gym again. I don't see any sense in the world. There are all sorts of people. I go to churches all the time and pastors say, we just can't grow. We're landlocked. I said, well, are you using that closet right there for a Sunday school class? They said, well, Madonna, that's a closet. I said, you could put some people in there. And I constantly walk people's property showing them, you could start a Sunday school class right there. Why aren't you using that space right there? Why don't you use this? That office is big enough. We walk away and we can add 5 and 6 Sunday school classes to people who said they were landlocked at a church in a moment, and the next year I'm back and they say, preacher, we're running 50 or 60 more people in church just since your last visit. That's more people getting saved. That's more people learning the Bible. That's churches growing again instead of everybody making excuses why you can't do it. We need to be serving God. Hey, the time is short. There's a lot of people out there that need to be reached. Now, so we're taking all the classes off the gym floor, at least for the time being. Some of our adult classes have grown to the point that they just had to have more space. Again, if you'll look at me, I'm begging all of you, when you get home tonight, I want you to sit down and take 2 hours. Study this, and I need to memorize it. I mean, I know how important it is, but look at me. Please look at me. Some of you already know this. Some of your classes are so packed, some of the adults, they almost don't want to be in there. I think about Joe Cowling's class. There are times when this little 12 or 14 foot by 14 foot square room, and they'll put 20 and 22 people in it. It's a good thing it's a couples class, or it'd be immoral for them to be meeting in there. But I'll guarantee you, Brother Cowling, there are people that sometimes don't come to class because your classroom is so packed they can't breathe. People like people, but they don't love people. and boy, when you're all cramped in so tight you don't have room, it's a bit frustrating. And I think you all understand that. I think our church and our Sunday school classes have potential to grow just by getting a little space, where we have a little more elbow room. The Happy Couples class was overloaded. Brother Bush's class has just been experiencing a revival. The Ambassador's class has been growing. The Martinsburg Bible class on big days, I mean, they were stacking them one on top of another. I think Brother Milliron's had 11 in the kitchen today. Mrs. Mongan's class not long ago had 9 or 10 in Brother Bush's office. And they were growing, so we're moving some classes and we're shifting some classes. Now what I've done is I've tried to keep all the classes that are alike in the same building. For instance, all the 5-year-old classes are in the same building, and that's what we wanted. Now you're gonna get to do something that you're gonna love to do. We're gonna look at the chart. Get that chart out. Turn to the blue page. I know you already passed it, but go back a couple steps here. The blue page, it says Martinsburg Christian Academy Facilities. On the back of it, it states the mobile Sunday school units. those mobile units are the ones that we're going to buy. Now, as you look on here, both front and back, it gives you the new location of the classes. You can see, then, if you look on the next page, it says the new Sunday school building. It's got a first floor, and on the second page, it's got a second floor chart. Every class is defined. Every room number is there. It is very clear and easy to follow. And here's one of the good things we're doing. We're not moving for 2 or 3 weeks. Because I know how bad you want to study the chart. And I want to give you 2 or 3 weeks to analyze this thing. Now let me tell you something else. Go to the very last set of papers. It's the white one. 8.5 by 14. It says Sunday school classes. If any of you have ever paid any attention around here at all the entryways, we have charts like these. They're posted on the walls and plastic cases. These will be posted everywhere, but on here it tells you of every class, every teacher, every location, every assistant teacher, and every room number. It breaks it down again. Tells you where the building is, tells you who the teacher is, tells you whether it's a north class or a south class. These will be posted on all the walls. Now, let's see if we can set the chart aside for just a moment and look back up here at me. We have hosts that work every building. We have hosts for this building, greeters at the doors, if you will. We have hosts over in the mobile units. We have hosts for the high school and the grade school and the gymnasium. We will have hosts on both floors of the new building. These hosts will be available on the day of our transition. They'll be there to show everybody and tell everybody where to go. Hosts, you need to study this. And Brother Tennis, the host for the new building, we need to get them in place right away in regard to recruiting them so they can study so they know where everybody's going to be. On the split day or on the transition day, there will be signs on all the doors that actually say, first grade north boys. There'll be a big sign there, not just a room number. The bus kids are going to be bringing in those quarter sheets to help the teachers in advance to know where they're going anyway. In the new building, we'll be forced to use some of the roll-around dividers for a while in some of the bigger rooms. Let me explain something to you, and I want you to understand it. Remember, the slowness of getting approval from the county and everything, it just made it. Anytime we'd go, see, as our church would grow, we needed more rooms. Well, it got to the point where every time we'd try to divide a room, it'd take the county 2 months to get back to us, and I'd have to stop or slow down construction. Finally, I said, that's it. I'm not fiddling one more time with the layout over there. I'll wait. I'll get the building done. I'll tear a couple walls down. I'll build some new walls, but I got to get it done. I got to get the occupancy permit. That's where we're at. We are at this very moment. We've already tore one wall down. We have all the approval we need from the county to do what we're doing, and we're building some new walls. Why? It finally got to the point where it was going to take us forever for every room that we'd try to add because of growth has taken 2 months. And we just didn't want to wait. So we are rebuilding. Now, we're going to try to get all the walls done over there for all the split up of all the classes. We're going to try to get them all done, but we probably won't. So we're going to use some of the roll-around dividers. Some of you will have to tolerate having two classes in one room with a roll-around divider. You say that's inconvenient. You cry on the shoulder of the 15 classes that were in the gym for over 2 years. You go to them, and I'm sure they're going to throw you a pity party that you're going to enjoy thoroughly. And a few of you that were in the gym, you may have to deal with the divider for a little while, but we'll get all the walls built. We'll get it all done soon. Now, let me go on. When's this all going to happen? Let me give you a little bit of a schedule. The new classes and the transition will take place on Sunday morning, March 8th. Now you say that that's some weeks away. I realize that. Next Sunday, I'm going to pass these charts out to everybody Sunday morning. Now don't you take one if you already have one. Greeters, you make sure you're all ready. Get everybody covered. Adult Sunday school teachers, if you need some of them, we'll have them for you. But we're going to take next Sunday to just keep on teaching and talking about it. Now, then, on Sunday, March the 1st, all the classes will dismiss about 5 minutes early that Sunday, and they'll go see where their new classroom is. some of you that have been here when we have what we call Promotion Sunday, when we promote up at the end of the school year, we promote from 5th grade to 6th grade. What we do 1 week before promotion, we take our students, we walk them to where their new classroom is and where their new teacher is, and we show them where they're going the following week. We're going to do this 1 week in advance to the total transition of all the Sunday school classes. Bus workers, on March 7, Brother Bajent, Brother Doss, they're going to show you how you can find all those classrooms for the 8th to help all the students from the bus routes get to their proper class. But teachers and all teachers, on March 8th, and that's the date of the transition, I need you all to be there early. Assistant teachers, you need to be in your places. In some cases, we have teachers that are on bus routes and they get in kind of at the last minute. Boy, is that going to be an important day for the assistant teacher to be in class. Now, our spring campaign starts on March the 22nd, so we're going to get in there about 2 weeks before our big push in attendance, and I think you'll see some wonderful things happen during our program. Now, what else? Stay with me now. I'm hurrying. We're soon going to start a new nursery. We'll be splitting. This is Russell's nursery. It's a 19 to 34 month nursery. There's just so big of a span in age there that some of the older children, it's a little rough in there. There's just too big of a span, so we're going to split it. We are going to end up needing some workers now, but we're not going to do this immediately. We eventually are going to move this nursery back here. It's a 3-year-old nursery. It's going to move into the new building. Why? That's our oldest nursery level class. We'll be moving it over to the new building, and then the other younger nurseries will be in here. We're making place for the additional nursery that we're going to add. Now, we're also going to expand what we'd call Mrs. Davis's nursery, what used to be Mrs. Brinklow's nursery, the 0 to 6 month nursery. We're going to expand that. Right beside that nursery is Brother Bajent's office. We're going to build Brother Bajent. We let him pick a room over there. We're going to build him a very nice new office. I think he deserves that. We're building him a brand new office over there in the new building. We're going to tear the wall down for his existing office, and we're going to expand the 0 to 6 month nursery. If anybody knows how cram-packed that nursery is right now, I'd like to say stop having babies, but you won't, and so just keep having them. We're trying to figure out a place to stack them. We're not starting that nursery immediately. We're not moving the 3-year-old nursery, not even at the transition time, but that is on the horizon. Now, those of you that work junior church and primary church, and Brother Calling and Brother Bajent, I'm going to want us to try to get the workers trained to put north-south on decision slips so they're going to the right Sunday school teachers and things for follow-up. Now, folks, let me tell you this. On March 8th, I'm going to do everything I can in the next 3 weeks to help anybody not to be confused. I'm trying to make it as simple and as obvious as I can. But change is hard on anybody. And there may be a little confusion. There will be a little people error. Please don't complain. Have a good attitude. Thank God that we have such a problem. If you have questions, we're going to answer them. I want you to be flexible. You say, well, I didn't get the room I wanted. Well, neither did I. And so I'm sure somebody else didn't get what they wanted. But let's do it for the cause of Christ. Let's do it for the cause of our church. Now, one of the moves that we're making is Brother Bajent's class, which gets overloaded, they're moving into the new building. Also, the young people, the teenage department, on Sunday nights, they have their program called Young Fundamentalists. They'll be moving to the largest room over in the new building as well. As soon as we raise the money for the mobile units, we get the walls built for the first and second floor for all the divisions, We'll go to work on. We're already drawing up the plans for remodeling the basement level of the building over here. Let's see. There's no classes from the main church building. There's no classes moving except one. Brother Aaron Baxter has an adult Sunday school class. It was the first one started here in the auditorium, and it's a good class. They've got a good start, and they meet back here in this corner. That class is going to be meeting over in the new building. Now, if you've listened to what I said, if you look at the charts, you're not going to have any problem. We have some weeks yet to study it and to figure it out. Sunday school teachers, be prepared to answer the questions. Sunday school teachers, you need to be looking at your division between north and south. teachers, you pretty well ought to know. We've been at this now for 7 months. We ought to have a grip on what's going on. Still going to give an altar call this evening. You've a little bit different of a meeting. You've learned something, I hope. I believe God's work ought to be done right, and we've tried to organize it and tried to think through it. If you need a moment at the altar tonight, hey, I believe there's somebody ought to come pray about what you can do to help us with the new mobile units. We've got some distance to travel yet. I'll announce in a minute. We've got money to raise yet. And maybe some Sunday school teacher needs to come down here and pray and say, God, use me. And there's somebody here that ought to say, you know what, I think I'll step up in my Christian life. I think I want to meet some of those standards and requirements. I want to teach. I want to be a part of it. Maybe you need to come to the altar. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet.